It's a very big welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport on 98FM.
98FM, Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Hello there, good morning, and you're very welcome to the That's What I Call Sport here on Dublin's 98FM on a bright Sunday morning in Dublin, thank God. Coming up between now and 10am with myself, Jamie Moore, and Nathan Whelan beside me. We'll check in with the Ireland rugby camp. Of course, no game this weekend, the Italy match off. Looking ahead to the game against France next weekend.
Obviously, there's disappointment not to play the Italy game.
It is strange, but it's out of our control, I guess.
Yeah, it was a bit weird for a day or two, but we moved on quickly enough, and now the focus is on France.
The voices there of Andy Farrell, Caelan Dorris and Ronan Kelleher. 98FM's League of Ireland Sunday will have reaction from the Dublin derby between Bohemians and Shelburne on Friday night, plus wins for St Pat's and Shamrock Rovers.
It took a little bit of a talk and a half-time to try and get a reaction, and I think we got that in the second half.
The two goals we gave away were criminal, and similar again tonight.
Yeah, very happy to get off the mark result-wise. You know, it's important for us to get a home win early.
It's 5 out of 5. It's a massive statement from us at the start of the season.
Ireland managers Mick McCarthy and Vera Pau will be here, plus the men in charge of FIFA and UEFA on coronavirus. Brian Howard, Dublin player too, but which of his teammates is he talking about here?
I might give him a few tips, I try not to, but now he wouldn't be the most stylish player, so hopefully a few words of wisdom won't go astray from him.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Yeah, I could be using those Brian Howard words in place of my friend Nathan here beside me and his dress sense on a Sunday morning in his Jack Wills hoodie. You're looking very stylish, sir. Good morning.
I'm not sure if you're being sarcastic or not, but I'll take it as a compliment. Good morning.
Well, I'm slagging your dress sense. So.
Yeah, I know, but you said it was a nice hoodie.
But it's always nice to hear, like, sports people slagging each other and slagging each other's outfits. And in that interview with Brian Howard as well, they talk about the Man City double denim going to the Champions League matches. I do a bit of double denim myself every now and again.
That's criminal. That is criminal. I will not take one more slagging off you saying that you backed up double denim.
Let's move on, because us slagging each other is a bit childish, isn't it, really?
Tiny bit.
Now, let's start with the Six Nations. We're going to hear from Andy Farrell in a second, Nathan. Of course, no game for Ireland this weekend, but a thrilling game yesterday, England winning. Another match today, which Ireland will have their eyes on.
Yes, Ireland. Obviously, you mentioned Ireland's clash with Italy was called off. Every game involving Italy across all men, women and under-20s were called off. But England did run out 33-30 winners over Wales at Twickenham. And obviously, as you mentioned, France travelled to Scotland today at 3 p.m. But the coronavirus has affected not only the Six Nations, the Pro 14 as well. Munster and Connacht's upcoming Pro 14 fixtures against Benetton and Zebre have been postponed. Due to the coronavirus, the Italian government has now extended restrictions on sporting events until the 3rd of April. The Pro 14 is aiming to reschedule the games during the European weekends in April or May.
Yes, now the Ireland coach Andy Farrell training this week. Of course, the team, they played also an in-house game against Ulster, and chatting to Irish Rugby TV, he first spoke about the disappointment of the Italy game being off and the reasons for it.
Andy, fair amount of uncertainty around our fixtures in the Six Nations and the cancellation of the Italy game this weekend. How have the players coped with that?
Obviously, there's disappointment not to play the Italy game. The only thing that you want to do after a disappointing result over at Twickenham and performance is to play again, and we don't get the chance to do that, but that's life. We've got to get on with it and deal what's in front of us.
In terms of this week then, what's the focus been for the players?
Well, obviously France. Assessing what happened at Twickenham and making sure that we've got clear understanding and learnings from that, and are moving forward with those learnings throughout the week. We've had a great week, a tough old week, you know. We obviously have no game this weekend, so we get to watch the rest of the fixtures, but we've trained hard this week. Hopefully we've got better as well.
Looking ahead to those fixtures, you'll have a keen eye obviously on the French game. What are you looking for?
We've seen a pattern of how they're playing, and obviously it's working really, really well for them, and they're playing really confidently. I think Scotland will be tough enough at Murrayfield, so we'll see how they cope with that. We know that they're a side that kick the ball nice and early. They've got really good energy in the kick chase, and defensively are really strong, and they like to play off free flowing ball like all good French sides do, and get a few offloads. The 9 and 10 are very lively as well. So, a good side. A pretty similar
type of game to what we played against Twickenham a few weeks ago.
Any concerns about the layoff this weekend in terms of losing match sharpness, or, you know, is it an extra week to recover?
No, there's no concerns. We have a plan to take advantage of that. As I said, we've trained really hard this week. We've got quite a bit of fitness in ourselves, and physically we'll be ready. There's been quite a bit of contact work as well, so we'll battle hard as far as that's concerned. We played a game against the 20s last week, which was great, but Ulster have come down today, and yeah, that was a great outing for both parties, really, and we really appreciate them coming down.
You mentioned the contact work. Looking at that session today against Ulster, it was pretty full on, wasn't it?
We've got to make sure that we are battle hard, and if we put the work in like that, we get a chance to recover properly over the weekend, and we come in on Sunday night in good form.
An unusual opportunity to train against, to train against Ulster and have them run lines against you that maybe you're not expecting.
Well, I suppose Ulster in a little bit of limbo as well, you know, and they're clicking their heels up there in Belfast. So, like I said, we're unbelievably grateful that they take the time to come down to the High Performance Centre here in Dublin and have a great outing against the boys. It was a great session that was done in the right manner, and yeah, it was pretty physical at times, but done in the right manner, and both sides got a lot out of it.
So rest up this weekend, and then match mode comes Sunday evening.
Well, we'll recover from the session today, and we'll assess what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, and reflect about that over the weekend. We'll watch the games as well with interest, obviously, and come bouncing into work next week.
Yeah, that's the Ireland coach Andy Farrell chatting to Irish Rugby TV in the indoor dome at Abbottstown during the week, as Ireland, of course, trained with no match this weekend. And two of his players also spoke to Irish Rugby TV. Here's Caelan Doris and Ronan Kelleher.
It is strange, but it's out of our control, I guess. So the benefit of it is getting that extra week prep, getting our detail down this week, and then we can hit the ground running next Monday.
What do you do this weekend?
Kick the feet up, probably watch the other games and relax. It's been a tough week, so be relaxing mainly.
Travelling to France and travelling to Paris, it's always a daunting prospect. What are you expecting?
Yeah, obviously they've gone very well over the first few games. Get another opportunity to have a look at them this weekend, but they've threats all through both their pack and their back line. 9 and 10, Dupont and Entomac are especially dangerous. So yeah, we'll be watching that closely and looking forward to going up against them next week.
Yeah, it was a bit weird for a day or two, but we moved on quickly enough, and now the focus is on France next week, so we moved on quickly.
Obviously you had the down week last week, you had the open training session. The plan then this week is almost a similar kind of approach to a down week, isn't it?
Yeah, similar enough. So we're back into Carton on Thursday for another session here, and then I suppose we'll go away, then rest up for the weekend, watch those Six Nations games, and then back in Monday ready to go for France.
Opportunity, I suppose, to get a bit of extra work under the belt, a bit of extra analysis done.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, we started our prep on France there last week, so we've really had the guts of 2.5 weeks now to prep for them. So yeah, we're looking forward to it now.
Now, former Ireland Lions and Leinster man Shane Byrne is on the line. Shane, how are you?
Yeah, morning. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, all good. All good.
Shane, firstly, just your overall reaction to what's been going on in the world, really, but particularly the impact on sport of coronavirus. Ireland, Italy off this weekend. There's other sporting events across the world off, and I know the FAI and the RFU are going to have more meetings this week about future matches and what's going to happen from a domestic point of view and international point of view as well. And it's concerning times for everybody, really.
There's no doubt about it. Look, it's the right thing to do, unfortunately. Yes, it's very disruptive from, a selfish point of view, from the sports fans. You still want to see games going ahead. But look, unfortunately, we're probably only scratching the surface at the moment. And it'll get to be something very, very large in our lives. And then hopefully it'll go away just as quickly. But yeah, very disruptive, particularly from an Irish point of view this weekend.
Would you have concerns, Shane, about the rest of this Six Nations? I know Ireland Italy will have to be played, hopefully, at some stage to complete the tournament. At the moment, that's the only game that's definitely off. Can you foresee in the last round anything else happening?
Well, yeah, look, from a practical point of view, France will definitely, France Rugby Union will want to play the game, because assuming that they win today, they will want to go for the Grand Slam. They have huge momentum, and the last thing they'll want to do is to postpone it. But they have made the ruling in the country that, you know, gatherings, you know, over 5,000 is not to happen, and yet there's going to be nearly 80,000 at the game if it goes ahead. You know, there is things like that you wouldn't be surprised if it escalates a little bit more, and there could be a few more postponements. You know, we're kind of just in limbo. There's nothing anybody can do about it, because any decisions that are made are correct, and they have to be made. And wouldn't be surprised if they escalate. Great if they don't, but you know, we just got to wait and see.
Yeah, Scotland, France later on today at 3 o'clock. And Shane, we heard there from the Ireland camp talking about, you know, their extra week of training and being able to get Ulster in to play an in-house game and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm sure when they're speaking to the media, they're very positive about having, you know, an extra week to prepare for France. But I'm sure they would have liked to have a chance to beat Italy, and to probably beat Italy well at the Aviva Stadium this weekend, having lost to England at Twickenham, to bounce into France with that opportunity, of course, not there for them.
Yeah, listen, all the brave talk and, you know, that it's fine and we're just focusing. Look, they absolutely would have wanted that Italy game. The fixtures actually sat very well for us, considering what happened against England. We would have had a good few changes against Italy. We would have been able to blood a few players, get a lot more. I would have thought guys getting a start and making it an easy step for Farrell going into the French game, that if anyone really put their hands up for a position, well, then they deserve to start against in the bigger game. But now he really has to make his decision. I don't think he can go with type. It's put pressure on him in that respect, but the players obviously would have preferred to have the game against Italy at home. Like, it's you know, a very, very important game in the cycle of it to get ready for the French.
Yeah, and Ireland report back to hotel tonight, having had a couple of days off across the weekend too, and get ready for France in France next Saturday, Shane. And just finally, a word on that one too. And of course, it's important for Ireland to try and pick up, you know, a victory in that game, and also a good performance. And, you know, the post-mortem of England is well and truly done now, and it's all eyes on the French.
Yeah, and we'll see how they are today, obviously later on. But if they're continuing anywhere like the momentum that they started in the first few games, you know, they're looking very, very impressive. A lot of the return back to traditional French rugby, but also Sean Edwards bringing that bit of metal to the defence, which is exactly what they needed. And they're almost rejuvenated. What is it? I think 2010, since the last time they won the Six Nations. And, you know, they really are hunting very, very strongly for this. And if they do a job on Scotland, they will be relishing the idea of getting Ireland at home.
Great stuff, Shane Byrne. Thanks a million. Speak to you next weekend.
Take care, man.
Nathan, that's the men's Six Nations over for this weekend. But of course, the 20s and the ladies, we've been focusing on the last number of weeks on the show as well. And the 20s have started really well, of course, with a couple of big wins. But their competition, and they played in the course as well, also affected by what's going on in the world with coronavirus.
Yeah, as we mentioned, the coronavirus really stopped the entire Italy age levels at all. Games were postponed. Obviously, Ireland against Italy was meant to be on Friday. That was postponed. But England did face Wales. Wales ran out 23-22 winners, while Scotland lost to France 29-22. Next up for Ireland is, of course, a trip to France against the Stade Anim Giral that kicks off at 8 p.m. on March 13th, next Friday.
And concerning stuff from the Ladies Six Nations, one of the players has actually contracted coronavirus. Now, not from Ireland, but again, you know, this illness will not choose, you know, only young people, only old people, or people who aren't involved in important sports matches. It will choose who it chooses by the fact that it can just be contracted by anybody.
Yeah, Scotland's Six Nation clash with France was postponed after a player tested positive for coronavirus. The Scottish Rugby announced 7 staff and players are in self-isolation following their trip to Italy on the 23rd of February. They returned. Their clash with Italy was, of course, postponed due to the outbreak, but Chief Medical Officer for Scotland and the Scottish Government, Dr. James Robson, said, "We are pleased that our player is doing well and that all the correct medical procedures have been followed and continue to be followed." The statement added that the fixture at Scotstoun Stadium in Glasgow will be rescheduled, with tickets for the original date remaining valid.
Yeah, and you would hope as well, you know, again, I'm not an expert in this, but listening to all of the experts and doctors on the radio and on TV, that, you know, a sports person who's very fit, their body should be able to fight off coronavirus. There's a lot more chance of someone actually, you know, dying if they're a younger person, but particularly an older person in their 70s and over too. So hopefully, you know, that player is okay. But, you know, the fact that they've shared stadiums and buses and aeroplanes and everything with their teammates and with opposition teams and referees and officials and stuff as well, I would assume there's going to have to be a plan put in place, you know, to make sure all of those, you know, areas are properly cleaned and to make sure that when the next game happens at places that she has been in, that it's not possible for somebody else to get it. And that's something even in our studios here, they're all being cleaned and deep cleaned and plans put in place if things do get worse, what might happen for everybody really.
Yeah, and I think it's good that it rubbishes claims of like only young kids or people with underlying issues can get it, because this is a woman in the peak of her fitness, peak of her powers, and she's picked up this coronavirus. It's a massive effect, obviously, and you only realise when something like this breaks out how they are in such close proximity for such a long time. So it is it's not exactly the healthiest situation.
Yeah, and on the way after the break, we're going to hear from the presidents of both UEFA and FIFA about the impact coronavirus could have on the world of football.
Well, I'm optimistic. I still think that things will be under control way before the Euro starts, so I'm not worried about it.
It seems these days you cannot have a speech or speak to anyone without mentioning coronavirus.
98FM's League of Ireland Sunday. Mick McCarthy, Vera Powell and Dublin's Brian Howard will join us as well. We're back in a sec.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
You're very welcome back to Now That's What I Call Sport on 98FM with myself, Jamie Moore, this Sunday, and Nathan Whelan is still beside me in studio. I'm going to round up the rest of what's going on this Sunday. Katie Taylor will be back in action soon against the sister of someone she's already beat, is that right?
That is correct, yeah. Katie Taylor will put her status as the undisputed lightweight champion on the line when she takes on Amanda Serrano at the Manchester Arena on May 2nd. She will return to the 135-pound division to defend her WBC, WBA, IBF and WBO crowns against Amanda Serrano, who has won world titles in 7 different weight classes. Serrano holds an impressive 31-1-1 record, and the pair have a history, as you mentioned there. They went back and forth online, but not only that, Katie beat her little sister Cindy convincingly in 2018. So there's huge anticipation for this fight on May the 2nd. And also, while we're mentioning boxing, John O'Carroll had an amazing 11th round TKO stoppage of former WBA super bantamweight champion Scott Quigg in Manchester last night. So congratulations to him.
Now, looking forward to Cheltenham, which is on, and people who have tickets to go and watch it and bet on it will be allowed to go at the moment. And of course, I heard the chief executive of the racecourse chatting during the week saying that, you know, they're monitoring the situation as everybody else is. But we're looking ahead to the Irish interest on the old horses.
We are indeed. The Cheltenham Festival starts Tuesday, March 10th and runs for 4 days, ending with the Gold Cup on Friday, March 13th. The British Horse Racing Authority and Cheltenham Racecourse insist there are no plans to cancel the event, and they have confirmed that it will go ahead as scheduled. Ireland's leading hope for the Gold Cup is Gordon Elliott trained Delta Work, who comes in at 5-1. Willie Mullins, I should say, will be looking to add to his record 65 festival winners. Bernie de Dieu is tipped as his best chance at the festival, so keep an eye out for that name.
Yeah, offtheball.com is the place. There's like a 2-hour full Cheltenham preview with experts and jockeys, and Paddy Power himself is on it giving all the tips and the bets. So yeah, as opposed to us bluffing it, because me and Nathan wouldn't be the most informed on the old horse race, and offtheball.com is the place. You'll find the podcast section also on the Go Loud app, and you can listen to basically a play-by-play of what's going to happen at Cheltenham, kicking off on Tuesday, yeah?
Tuesday the 10th, yeah.
So Rory McIlroy in action in the golf as well?
Yep, and he's the only Irishman in action on the final day of the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill Club and Lodge in Orlando, Florida. Padraig Harrington, of course, failed to make the cut. However, a third round of 1-over sees McIlroy tied for second on 4-under par. Tyrrell Hatton leads the way on 6-under, while Kang Sun Hoon had an absolute shocker of a day, carding a woeful 6-over to leave him 1-under par. It's all to play for, as all of them involved in the top 3 or 4 are in with a chance to win that cool $9.3 million prize.
Yeah, looking forward to the weather getting better in Dublin and going for a few games of golf myself now in the summer months. Nathan, you'll go out for earlier. That's what I call sport. Grudge match eventually?
No, I don't think we will, Jamie, to be honest, because I think, although I'll never give you credit, you actually are not the worst player I've ever seen in golf.
Thanks very much. Now, we're going to hear in a moment about Ireland's Nations League draw and also a big win for the girls in green. But coronavirus, of course, on the agenda, and at the Nations League draw during the week, the president of UEFA, Alexander Shefferin, has been speaking about it, and also the FIFA president, Gianni Infantino, of course, with UEFA Euro 2020 due to be played across a number of European cities, including 4 games here in Dublin, lots of games in London too, concerns about possibly games being played behind closed doors. So first of all, here is the UEFA president chatting to Sky Sports News.
It's obviously a serious thing, something that we will have to deal on top of all the other issues that we have to deal when we organize any events. But I'm optimistic. I still think that things will be under control way before the Euro starts, so I'm not worried about it. Again, I would like to stress, we are calm and we are confident. For now, everything is under control.
Could you reduce the number of host nations? Do you anticipate any part of this tournament being played behind closed doors?
I don't want to even think about it, because we are, for now, sure that everything will go exactly as planned. Let's see. We don't want to panic in advance and say we will do this or we will do that. We don't know. For now, it looks very clear that the Euro will be exactly as it is.
Is football, is UEFA taking this seriously enough?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But being panic, full of panic, shouting all days, threatening, doesn't mean you take it seriously. You take it seriously if you assess the situation properly, but at the same time calmly and without panicking.
It seems these days you cannot have a speech or speak to anyone without mentioning coronavirus. Some of you are having to take some important decisions in this respect. Every competition organizer has to study it, of course, and has to take decisions. Important is, of course, always the cooperation with the authorities, but also not to panic. And I'm sure that those who have to take decisions, like it happened in Switzerland or in Italy recently, will take these decisions and then be able to move forward. Somebody here in this room said to me a couple of days ago that football could even be an antidote to coronavirus. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but certainly the football is an antidote to many other illnesses.
Yeah, strange. Football, an antidote to coronavirus. I don't think so, really. Here's the Ireland manager, Mick McCarthy.
Somebody just said to me, I didn't think I'd turn up today because is it an unnecessary risk? Well, I've come through Gatwick Airport with thousands and thousands of people. And life has to go on, and I feel desperately sad for all the people that have got it or may have contracted it, and it's affecting their lives. But my life is carrying on, and if I do contract it by going through the airport, I'm healthy enough to recover from it. That's all I can do. But I'm not going to sit at home and worry about it, because that's one of the... I can't do anything about it.
Now, the FAI website yesterday reads, COVID-19 virus update. The FAI continue to monitor this evolving situation closely and will be guided by any directives issued by the HSE Department of Health, and would advise all employees and affiliates immediately in the event of any new directives. As of today, which was released on Friday, their most recent statement, the government has announced that it is not recommending the cancellation of events and meetings at this stage. The FAI medical team remain in contact with the Department of Health and the HSE, and will update staff and stakeholders as soon as possible. And we understand there is a meeting involving the HSE, Department of Health, of course, and the Minister Simon Harris, and some sports bodies and other interested parties tomorrow. And of course, 98fm.com is the place for updates on all of that. Now, Nathan, Mick McCarthy was speaking at the UEFA Nations League draw, at which he was there as the Ireland manager, but he won't be the Ireland manager for these actual matches, because Stephen Kenny by then would have taken over, and Mick McCarthy would have been given a bonus of about $1 million, which was agreed by John Delaney's FAI, when he finishes his contract, which is in the Sunday Times today as well.
It's a handsome mill payoff, isn't it? But yeah, I'm sure he'd be happy. Obviously, you know, it's a favourable group. Obviously, he's not going to be leading the team. But of course, we've been drawn in League B, Group 4, with Wales, Finland and Bulgaria. So it's not exactly a group of death, we shall say, you know. So Stephen Kenny will fancy his chance to qualify from that, I'm sure.
My thoughts are strange, of course, because I'm not going to be doing it.
Yep.
I won't be there. Stephen Kenny will be doing it. And I think if Stephen sat at home and watched it, I think he'd be happy with it. I know I would be if I was there looking, thinking I was going to take it with the games. Wales are the standout team, qualified for the 16 and 2020 Euros. Ryan's doing a great job with them, so they're the best side. We played Bulgaria in a friendly, we beat them, albeit it was two completely changed teams. Finland I don't know much about, but I think it's a group that we can win.
Now, a great 1-0 win for the girls in green. Vera Powell's Ireland beating Greece 1-0 at Tallaght Stadium in front of just under 5,000 fans on Thursday evening. And it keeps them in second place in Group I, of course, trying to make it to their first ever major tournament. And the way the qualification will work is that England will host the tournament, so they're automatically through. So the 9 group winners and the 3 best group runners-up will automatically qualify, plus 3 playoff winners as well. So Ireland have given themselves a great chance to at least make those playoffs. They've 10 points from their first 4 games. Already now 6 ahead of Greece, And Montenegro and Ukraine have 0 points between them as well. Ireland play Montenegro this coming Wednesday away from home. And after that win on Thursday, the manager of Europe reacted with RTE's Tony O'Donoghue.
They are very difficult to beat, very difficult. So I wouldn't be surprised if they take points of Ukraine between A to C. But we have the 3 points that we need.
It's probably too early to say, but a few injury concerns. You've got to go to Montenegro next week. But you'll go with confidence, certainly, after a performance like this.
Of course, we grow, we do every time better. A team like this is so difficult to beat. We should have scored again more goals, then the game would have been completely different. But remember that Germany also scored only 4, I think. So it is a very difficult side to beat.
Well, you're a difficult side to beat. You're unbeaten so far, so the qualification dream very much alive.
Yes, and we are away from Greece, and Ukraine has to catch up, so that is fantastic.
Yeah, Germany top of the group, played 4, won 4, scored 31, conceded 0, and Ireland still have to play against the Germans as well. So it's been an interesting time for them, considering the fact that they have played the other teams in the group who are going to finish below them. So it's great to get the points on the board before a very tough clash with Germany as well later on in the group.
League of Ireland on 98FM. The best place on the radio for the SSE Airtricity League.
Now, great game at Dalymount Park on Friday as Bohemians beat Shells by 2-0. Andre Wright and Danny Mandrew with the winners there. And the manager, Keith Long, has been reacting to that victory.
Yeah, Shelburne were probably a little bit sharper, a little bit more aggressive than we were in the first half. They won a lot more sort of individual duels. They won first balls, second balls. They were quicker to most things in the first half, and we were off it. We were second best after a promising enough type of start between, you know, 8 to 10 minutes. I thought we settled into the game okay, but for whatever reason we stepped off that a little bit, and you know, it took a little bit of a talk and a half time to try and get a reaction, and I think we got that in the second half.
Another man of the match performance from Twardek, the Bohemians player of the month as well. What a start to the season he's having.
Yeah, he's been very, very good. He's a powerful, direct, strong runner, and he has quality as well, and he has a good end product. So, you know, I thought, like I said, both wingers came into the game a little bit more second half. Our front four, Andre Wright, came alive. Danny Mandrew grew into the game a little bit more second half, but we were better in terms of midfield, you know, picking up second balls, better defensively. You know, we were a little bit more aggressive, and you know, the first goal is key. We got it, and you know, lucky enough we're able to get the second goal. Unfortunately, you know, we could have got maybe a goal or two more. Glenn McCauley certainly had a great chance towards the end. It's a bit disappointed for him because he's had some chances in games, and it doesn't matter how confident you are as a player, you need to get your account up and running, really, and in order for him to settle in, it would have been good for him to get a goal.
Long trip to Cork next week. What sort of a challenge are you expecting there? They're a team with a point to prove, having had the best start to the season. How do you think it'll go?
Well, listen, we can only look after tonight. We'll obviously, yeah. Cork next week. We'll recover tomorrow, get ourselves prepared, you know, when we're back in on Monday. So there's no game easy in this league. You have to earn every point that you generate, that you get. So you know, Cork, in all my career and all my involvement in League of Ireland football, you don't get anything cheap in Cork, and it's it'll be a very tough place to go, but tonight, hopefully second half, we can gain a little bit of confidence, but we've got to understand that we need to be better.
That's the Bowes manager, Keith Long, speaking to Irish Football Fan TV. You'll hear later as well with Steve McPhail of Shamrock Rovers. I would love for the League of Ireland clubs to find areas to do the interviews that are actually quiet, without luggage, baskets being dragged behind, and kids screaming and music in the background. Like, how hard is it to find an area to do an interview where it's actually quiet, Nathan? It drives me insane.
It is quite irritating, because it's becoming a regular thing now. Every single week there's something going on in the background.
And it's not just it could be in the gar, the rugby and stuff. And I'm an anorak, I love radio, and I want the show to sound perfect for people who are listening to it. And it can sound perfect if there's someone dragging something behind in the background. It's often the referees walking by with their big bags on wheels, or a kit man with a big luggage box. Lads, just stay away.
And that's this week's, that wraps up Jamie's rant for this week, but I'm sure there'll be more coming up in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, Ian Morris, the Shelburne manager, now chatting to Air Sports.
Until half time, we were frustrated not to come in at least 1-0 up. I thought the game panned out exactly the way we thought it would. The two boys up top were a handful, and like I said, if you're not clinical and you give away silly goals, which again, I think against Dundalk, the two goals we gave away were criminal, and similar again tonight. Bowes possibly had 10, 15 minutes of a spell, and they took their two chances. We've had a numerous, I think after half time, Dobbsy's gone through, possibly could have scored again. Killer goes through, Rob Conwell handles the ball and he's already on a booking. That changes the game again. But look, you can't give away goals like that and then not take the chances that you create. That's just it. Give away silly goals and don't take your chances, you get punished. And I think performance-wise, we can take a little couple of positives from it in terms of what way we set up and the chance we created, but the other end of the pitch is just simply not good enough.
Specifically, how do you pick the lads up? Obviously, you lose to Dundalk, you come back and then you beat Pats 1-0. So, you know, looking ahead now at Waterford, how will you pick this group of lads up?
We'll show the game. We'll look through patches of the game, show what we've done well, show stuff that we have to work on and address. But this season's going to be like that. There's going to be loads and loads of ups and downs, and you have to stick together and you have to show that character and you have to get back to playing. We know we're a decent team. We know we can play. We know we can mix it up and we can create a lot of chances. It's just scoring and taking them chances and, like I said, cutting out errors at the other end.
Yeah, Ian Morris of Shells. We've made a great start to their first season back in the Premier since 2013. So, although they were beaten by Bowes, they have done well so far, picking up points in a couple of other games. St. Pat's beat Cork City by 1-0. Billy King grabbed the winner. Great finish, and his manager Stephen O'Donnell reflected with Irish Football Fan TV.
Yeah, very happy to get off the mark result-wise. You know, it's important for us to get a home win early. Obviously, we know there's lots that we can improve on, but it's important we enjoy results like tonight, and the players go home happy, you know. But, you know, we're under no illusions. We need to get better, and we will get better.
A special moment for new signing Billy King getting the winning goal.
Yeah, great move and a great way to pass by Lee, and Billy's first touch excellent and finished it very coolly. So delighted for Billy, delighted for the whole team. The players deserve that. They've been working really hard since pre-season and we're going to continue to do so. So hopefully you pick up more positive results.
Stephen, that's your second clean sheet of the season. You've only conceded 2 goals in 4 games. You're looking solid defensively.
Yeah, we are. You know, obviously the 2 goals that we conceded were 2-1-0 defeats, but you know, we are looking solid defensively in regards. You know, Luke McNally, an excellent young prospect, has been ever present so far, played 490 minutes, so he's going to develop into an excellent centre half. And then just unfortunate with Ollie tonight, the bang he got, so hopefully he's okay. So we've had to actually shuffle around the pack at the back a little bit this season, but any lads that have come in have been good, and it's, you know, it's a team effort. It's not just the defence, it's defending as a whole unit, so we've been good in that department.
And finally, a trip to Oriel Park to play Dundalk next week, a ground you need no introduction to yourself.
Yeah, obviously you're going to the champions. It's going to be a very tough game. They had a good win tonight, so one we're looking forward to. We have a busy week next week. We play Monday, Friday, so you know it's going to be all hands to the pump, and everyone's going to be involved.
Champions Dundalk hammered Finn Harps 4-0, and another opportunity for a possible goal this season in Waterford. They won 2-1 at home to Derry. Shane Griffin's 98 minute banger into the top corner from about 30 yards. Another cracking goal. The League of Ireland is really witnessing some brilliant goals in the opening weeks of the season, and Jack Byrne was one of those players. Scored a great goal last night for Shamrock Rovers at the Showgrounds in Sligo. They won 3-2 against Sligo Rovers. Here is the Shamrock Rovers sporting director Stephen MacPhail on Air Sport.
Yeah, disappointing given the goal away at the end there. A bit sloppy from us, yeah, but listen, it's a tough place. We've as I said before the game, it's difficult over the last couple of years to get results here, so yeah, delighted to get the win and move on.
Tough place indeed. With that in mind, how big a win is this mentally?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's 5 out of 5. It's a massive statement from us at the start of the season, but as I keep saying, we put that to bed now. The manager's good at that. We put that to bed tonight and we look forward to Finn Harps on Friday.
Such a good start to the season. Would it be fair to say that the cup win would have been a catalyst for this performance?
Yeah, listen, it's the last day of last season. We go and pick up a trophy, so that you can only build confidence for the group and the know-how of winning a trophy. Hopefully that continues into this season.
It really feels like there's genuinely something special brewing at Shamrock Rovers at the moment.
Yeah, but we need to keep level-headed. Listen, keep going back to it. It's not about how you start, it's almost how you finish as well. So, listen, we started well last year and fell off a little bit, and Dundalk, such high standards. So we got to make sure we just keep plugging away and look forward to next week.
Yeah, more screaming kids in the background. Lads, please let them do the interviews in peace. And shout out to Aaron Green of Shamrock Rovers. When he was celebrating one of the goals last night, Nathan, a Sligo Rovers fan or someone threw a box of chips at him. He picked it up and ate one of the chips.
Oh, well, that's not really ideal, is it?
Hopefully it was lovely.
Yeah, well, I hope it didn't land on the grass first.
Well, sure, if it did, sure, it's the 3 second rule, Nate, as they say.
I thought it was 5 seconds.
Now, tell us about the First Division results, please.
4 games on in the First Division this weekend. Wexford Youths and Galway drew 0-0 on Friday, as well as Cabinteely beat Shamrock Rovers 2-1-0, and Drogheda United recorded a 5-1 victory over UCD. 1 game yesterday, Cove Ramblers beat Athlone Town 3-2, and Longford against Bray was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch.
It's the greatest league in the world. League of Ireland on 98 FM.
On the way after the break, we'll be joined by Dublin's Brian Howard.
98 FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Yeah, you are very welcome back. We're going to hear from Brian Howard in just a second. But first, Nathan, a busy weekend. And firstly, the under-20s, they're the Leinster champs.
Yes, they made it back-to-back Leinster titles with a dominant 18-8 win over Laois on Friday night. And they confirmed that they will face Tyrone in the All-Ireland semi-final at Croke Park on Paddy's Day, which is the 17th of March, to be exact. Now, the Dublin ladies footballers are also in action today. They face Waterford at Friar Field in Dungarvan. Throw-in there is at 2 p.m. But there's been some big news regarding the Ladies Gaelic Football Association. They passed a motion which will see a player who kicks a 45 from the ground straight over the bar rewarded with 2 points instead of one. What is your thoughts, Jamie?
I find it very strange. We've got about 20 seconds left, but I believe that women's sport and men's sport, the point system should be the same for both. Simple as that, really.
Simple as that. Also, the LGFA also chose its next president, Micheál Naughton, to become the 13th president of the association elected by delegates. He'll succeed Marie Hickey in the 2021 annual Congress. Also, the Camogie team are in action today. They face a must-win game against Limerick to avoid a relegation playoff. That is later on today at LIT. Throw in there is 1 p.m.
Yes, here's Dublin's Brian Howard chatting to Off the Ball's Owen Sheehan, beginning about fitness and how fit he is at this stage of the Dublin season.
Trying to find my way back into good shape, and I know we haven't been back that long, so there's still a long way to go physically for me, so hopefully I'm going the right direction.
It's a good complaint to have that in March you're still finding your way into full fitness, because you got to enjoy that off season, don't you? What did you get up to celebrate the 5 in a row?
There's a few special occasions, but no, it's just time to have a bit of time off, spend time with your family and friends, and that you might have seen for a long time throughout the season. But no, you have a bit of time to enjoy yourselves and go off on holidays and stuff like that, so it was well needed. But now we had to come back fairly fast after Christmas and get back into it.
Were those sessions the classic horrible pre-season sessions, or were you doing a bit on the side before that just to lessen the blow a small bit?
Yeah, well, I can speak personally and probably for most other players that when you're off, you're not really off. You're always thinking that you need to come back in decent shape. So you're trying to do, whether that's a few running sessions or gym sessions, you need to be taking along. And I know when you're not playing, players want to be playing. And when you are playing, you don't want to be doing all the running and stuff like that. But yeah, when you're not playing, you have to do stuff to make sure you're in decent shape.
It's interesting, actually, when you mentioned strength and conditioning there, and I guess whatever gym sessions or whatever it may be in the pre-season, how that's actually changed in the last even 3 or 4 years. That, I guess, about, you go 5 to 10 years ago, I think bigger was better for GAA, whereas now it seems that people are slimming down a small bit, that speed used to be sacrificed a small bit. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, well, I don't know, to be honest. Don't know what the answer is. But
for you personally?
For me personally, different positions. You need your fast lads, you need your strong lads, you need a lot of versatility in the team. But for me, I sort of just have gone with the flow, sort of tried to get a bit bigger physically, and then obviously not neglecting the speed or other aspects of the game. So you try to get a nice balance of a bit of everything.
There's been a lot of talk about who is the long-term partner of Brian Fenton in Dublin's midfield. Is that something that interests you?
Yeah, having the opportunity to play alongside Brian, In the past I have got the opportunity to, and it is an honour. But now there's still some players to come back now that potentially could fill that role, but that's not up to us to decide. It's up to the management, and hopefully they'll put the best player in that position.
What is it like partnering Fenton in midfield? What's it like? What's he saying to you during the game, and what's the partnership like?
Yeah, there's always a few sly digs, but no, it is. It doesn't feel like you're playing really. It just looks like you're playing down St. Dan's Park alongside him. That there is that bit of chemistry is in. That's not just all serious. There is that bit of crack, and he's been a huge influence for me growing up. Coming into the team, he helped me a lot. So I have a lot of respect for him, and I owe him a lot. But when we're on the pitch, yeah, we have a job to do, but is that fun aspect is certainly there.
Yeah, that seems to be something that this Dublin team have got off to a tee at this moment, that when on the pitch there's an edge, there's an aggression which every top team needs to have, but then there's also kind of an appreciation for where you're at as a team and a smile on your face at certain moments, enjoying the off-season as we've already spoken about.
Yeah, all of us in the dressing room, we're privileged to get the opportunity to represent Dublin and put on the jersey, and it's not something that happens every day, so any time you do get the opportunity and you want to treasure it, and you don't want to let anyone down. So when we go onto the pitch, that's our first priority, is to make sure that we're doing best for obviously the county in general. So the fun aspect's certainly there, but we do have other underlying goals and stuff we want to achieve as well.
What's Brian Fenton's biggest weakness?
Terrible sense of style. I don't know, like, the chap, he's sort of a role model for a lot of people in terms of on the pitch. People are trying to see where his weaknesses are, but I haven't found him yet. On the pitch, I certainly have a few weaknesses off the pitch, but now on the pitch,
that.
Now on the pitch, he's a brilliant player, and he's one of the top players around, but everybody has their weaknesses. Some have better, stronger A games than B games. So I can't really answer that. I don't really know, because I don't pay too much attention to him.
Right, so let's talk about the style issue off the pitch. How bad is it, and what can you do to address this problem?
I might give him a few tips. So I try not to, but he wouldn't be the most stylish player, so hopefully a few words of wisdom won't go astray from.
And is there a particular garment we're talking about here that he tends to look back on?
No, just his overall style wouldn't be the best. So whether that's gym gear or suits that you wouldn't really scrub up too well. But he'd kill me for saying that. But I know he does have a few nice outfits now, I must say.
There does seem to be a couple of fashionistas in the team, like Michael Darmacauley. Is Mac Menaman into his fashion as well?
Yeah, everybody has their own different styles and let everyone off. But some are more into their style than other.
I was chatting to you before you went on air there, and you're looking fresh for a man who played in that game in Omagh at the weekend. What was that like? What was the atmosphere like and the intensity of the game?
Given the circumstances, it was the atmosphere was actually quite good, considering there probably wasn't that many people there with the weather. But on the pitch, it was a great game. Both first and second half, it was a clean, competitive game, and unfortunately we came out the wrong end of it. But it was a great game, enjoyable game, even though people probably wouldn't say that because of the conditions. But no, it was a good challenge for us to test ourselves, and Tyrone as well, they say the exact same thing, test different aspects of your game, your basic handling, your basic foot pass and kick pass, and so stuff like that was extremely tested, and you could really get a reflection of where you are at individually and collectively as a team on the basics.
Did you know that the game was going ahead all day? Because it seemed there was a lot of confusion even during the afternoon about whether or not this thing would go ahead.
Yeah, we knew it was going ahead, and we didn't have any doubts in our head. Obviously, going up on the bus when you're seeing the weather, obviously you're going to have question marks. But no, we knew very early on that it was going ahead, and then we were in the right mindset going into the game that wasn't going to be a pleasant game. But you had to obviously try to dig out a win from somewhere.
Yeah, it's never a pleasant game when you're up against Tyrone as well. They tend to make it very hard for the opposition. Like, we obviously saw what happened at half time inside in the tunnel. Do you know what sparked that or what happened down there?
No. So if you're watching the game, I actually sprinted off first, so I was in sitting down in the dressing room, so I didn't actually see what happened. And when the lads came in, we obviously had another half, so it was straight back into the focus zone. And
so you were just sitting there in the dressing room, just listening to the ruckus outside.
There was a few of us had already gone in, then obviously when you hear a bit of commotion going on outside, you went out and had a look. But at that stage, whatever happened, I don't actually know, was all finished. I just went back in, then we had to focus on the second half.
Yeah, it's a strange one, because they often have rules that, like, one team goes off the pitch first and then the other team has to wait to go off, especially in a ground like Healy Park when it's kind of closed and confined. Were Dublin the designated team to run off first on the night?
No. and I haven't been aware of any rules or what team goes off first, but no, and nothing like that. I know in my experience of playing, nothing like that has happened. So it's a very rare thing, and it was just whatever happened. It was just just two teams that two very competitive teams that have a bit of history, obviously in the final in 18 and competitive games up and all year, and we've seemed to always be playing them in Super 8s and stuff like that. But no, it's just two competitive teams that we both love. Speaking from Dublin's perspective, we love playing Tyrone because they bring a different challenge both physically and mentally, that you have to be in the right headspace.
Was there much needle during the game? Was there like any verbal jibes or anything like that?
No, and it was a clean game. A few yellow cards, but that was probably more down to sloppy tackling with the conditions. But no, there was no off the ball stuff, and it was a clean game from both teams.
Yeah, absolutely. The Dean Rock effort is something that's gone viral, I think it's fair to say, going for a point and then it goes out over the sideline. Like, were you chatting to him after the game? Was there any of your, was there any of your kick pass or anything that you're like, oh, I can't do anything about this?
Yeah, there's a few kick passes that were just well off, and it would have been off on any day, even in the sunshine and summer. But now, Dean, I remember watching that from behind them, that any other day it would have been over the black spot, but when it goes out for a sideline, then you sort of have to be like, was it a bad effort? But now the conditions, the wind completely took it. But now we can't make any excuses for that, because it was the same for both teams, so we had to adapt, but they just adapted better.
Yeah, like, it's interesting as well when we think about everything that happened at half time, and we talk about these rivalries that perhaps spill over a little bit from time to time. We were kind of chatting about it on the show the other day. Your own clubmate Kieran Whelan had, like, obviously a cup of tea thrown at him a few years back against Meath. So, some crazy things happen when you're in the heat of battle in this rivalry. It was that as heated a situation as you've ever seen? Granted, you only peeked your head out the door, but have you ever been involved in any situations like that?
No, because all the games I've been involved have been clean games, and there's nothing that is over the top, nothing too serious. But no, I think from what I've heard, it was just more just like pushing and a bit of shoving. But obviously it doesn't look great for either team or the sport in general, so but it is a rare event, so no, that's all I can say about that, because I don't actually, it's not point me saying, because I actually wasn't there.
How is Desi Farrell getting on?
Yeah, it's brilliant having him in this year. I got the opportunity to play under him, I know a lot of the other lads, so he's not a new face or a stranger to any of us, so and his backroom team. So having him there, with his credentials in the past, having been so successful as a player and as a manager, it's brilliant to have his experience in the dressing room.
How close was your relationship before he became senior manager?
Yeah, it was good. I know when I went in after he was a big influence for me going into the senior team, because he was the one that got me confident, and when I was meeting him one to one, he was giving me what I needed to hear to push me on, and thankfully that year we won the All-Ireland, so he was doing everything right, and then he pushed me on to go in the right direction into senior, and I'm grateful for that.
That's Dublin's Brian Howard speaking to Off the Ball's Owen Sheehan. A full podcast of that, plus everything else from the show, available right now on 98FM.com. And we'll see you next Sunday, folks. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, folks. Bye-bye.